are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome to another brand new edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As per usual, I am your host, Hende, for the evening. I will be with you until 8 p.m. on this lovely Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are going to speak about the PFL Africa. For those of you that don't know what the PFL Africa is, in few words, it's a MMA league, and they had the semifinals this weekend, yesterday actually, in Kigali, Rwanda. But we will get into that in just a few moments. Before that, we will run through some local news, local sports news, some international sports news as we normally do, and then we will get on to our topic. And we will also have a special guest that we were able to speak to regarding the PFL. But more on that in a few moments. First, as usual, you are tuned into your number one talk radio station. That is Eagle FM. And if you'd like to tune into us, no matter where you are in the world, you have the opportunity to do so via the Eagle FM mobile application. Free to download on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia and then you will be able to tune in to Eagle FM wherever you are on the go, anywhere in the entire world. And on the app, in case you know, maybe you missed last week's episode of the Eagle Sports Zone or of any other favorite show of yours on Eagle FM, you can simply go to the podcast section and type in the name of the show that you're looking for. If there was a particular guest on the show that day, type in their name as well, and then you'll be able to listen to your favorite show at your leisure, at your best convenience. On the app also, if you'd like to call into the studio, there's a call button for you right there. But alternatively, our number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. That's our number in the studio if you'd like to chime in, contribute to our topic, or ask any sport-related question. And as promised last week, we're going to start a new trivia segment here on the Eagle Sports Zone. So today's question, is who is the first African-born fighter to become a UFC champion? A small hint, this feat or this stat happened in 2019. So call in, whoever answers correctly, you are this week's winner of the trivia question. Who is the first African-born fighter to become a UFC champion? Call in. Let me know. Show us your mixed martial arts knowledge. Anyways, as I was saying, if it's not on the Eagle FM mobile application, you can also tune in via the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Same thing there. We also have the podcast available for you there. So any show that you may have missed or that you want to re-listen to again, the website and the mobile application are there for you. So first, let's start with some local sports news before we get into our conversation of the day. And we'll start with, let's start with gymnastics. The Namibian Gymnastics Federation held the senior nationals this weekend. It was Friday and Saturday in Windhoek. At the Windhoek Rhythmic Club, Emilia Kanjo, who we've had on here before, of Windhoek's Rhythmic Club won the senior event. Then Annabelle Oosthuizen, as well as Anne Hivelua. They were crowned as champions in the level 4 and 5 events. And then we added some boxing as well this weekend with the Nesta Sunshine Boxing and Fitness Academies held a youth development event. So it was just a day of boxing for the youth. And some of the winners include Rabelo Dalseb, who won the senior 48-kilogram division. We had Kalenga Abraham. He beat Panduleni Elago. And then Ndevelo. He won in the senior 63.5-kilogram category. Some cricket news as well. The Capricorn Eagles, that's Namibia's national women's cricket team, are currently on a nationwide tour in search of cricket talent, female cricket talent in the country. So they split into two groups. One in Ocho and the other in Otjiwarongo. And this is to help them as well with identifying any, you know, there might be some stars out there that could help the under 19 women's at the Women's World Cup qualifiers that's happening in Tanzania in 2026. We also had a football preseason tournament took place in Windhoek with four teams. The results in there were Commerce Nampo beat Julinho 3-1. FC Ongos beat Blue Waters 2-1. Blue Waters played against Julinho as well, beating them 1-0. And FC Ongos and Commerce Nampo. Ongos took that 1-3-2. In the pool, the Namibia Aquatic Sports Federation kicked off the long course season. So that officially commenced this weekend with the first national gala taking place across three locations. The first being in Windhoek here at the Olympia Swimming Pool in Oranjemund. That was at the Sand Shark Swimming Pool and Swakopmund at the Water Cube. And a few Eagle Sports Zone episodes ago, we had on the power lifter, Philip Shangadi. Oh, you guys remember we had that conversation with him, how he was telling us about his powerlifting journey, how he's represented Namibia out of his own pocket and qualified for the 2025 World Powerlifting Championships taking place in Brazil. Now, good news to share from there is that he finally got a sponsor in JSB Sports, sports betting. They sponsored him with some of the funds that he needed, and he is on his way to Brazil as we speak to represent us at the 2025 World Powerlifting Championships. And still in somewhat local news, our neighbors down south, the Cape Town Marathon was supposed to take place today, this morning actually, but it was cancelled due to high winds. And this was a very highly anticipated marathon. You know, one of the big ones that they've hosted, and I saw the organizers talk about how they wanted to be, you know, a premier event on the running calendar, like we see with the London Marathon, the Boston Marathon, the Chicago Marathon. So the Cape Town was attempting to become one of those, but unfortunately due to weather, it was cancelled. So over around 24,000 people had signed up for the marathon this year, coming from all around the world, of course. And it was cancelled an hour before its scheduled time of 6:15 a.m. this morning. And I saw one report that said that they were informed via WhatsApp, and they announced that there will be no refunds, as well as the ticket that they got this year will not carry over to next year's one, which was moved to May. So if you're a Namibian or from anywhere in the world, and I saw Kenyans are going to be there, Ugandans are going to be there, I'd imagine people from the UK or Europe in general, perhaps the US as well, had come to this event. So all these people lost out on their, you know, spent money for nothing. and they won't be able to carry over that ticket to next year. So unfortunate scenes from the running world. The highly anticipated Cape Town Marathon had to be cancelled this time around due to high winds. But on the other side of this brief commercial break, we will get into what it is we're here to talk about today, and that is PFL Africa. We'll get into, maybe you're asking yourself, what is PFL? Why is this being discussed on the Eagle Sports Zone? You'll find out very shortly, and we will have the general manager of PFL Africa. That is Mr. Elias Schultz will be on here to speak to us. But that'll be on the other side of this commercial break. We will be right back.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as promised before the commercial break, we are going to speak PFL Africa. But before I get to PFL Africa, let's talk about some English Premier League results that have transpired over the weekend. We had Chelsea beating Nottingham Forest 3-0. Man City beating Everton 2-0. The Gunners, Arsenal beating Fulham 1-0. Tottenham losing to Aston Villa 2-1. And currently Manchester United are beating Liverpool 1-0. We are in stoppage time of the first half. Brian Mbeumo on the score sheet scored in the second minute of the game. It's about to be halftime in that one. And as things stand, the league leaders are Arsenal on 19 points, Man City on 16, Bournemouth in third on 15, and if things stay how they are, Liverpool in fourth on 15 points as well. Barcelona played yesterday, beating Girona 2-1. We had Pedri opening the scoring for Barcelona and Ronald Araujo scoring the match-winning goal in the 93rd minute. Real Madrid are in action this evening against Getafe at 9 o'clock. And if anything changes in the Manchester United-Liverpool match, I will keep you up to date with the scoreline there. But let's get into our conversation of the day, that is about PFL Africa. So in short, PFL is a mixed martial arts that's MMA organization that was founded in 2018. And it is actually one of the fastest growing sports leagues, if you want to define it by a league, as a league, in the world. And it's the only, league in the MMA world with a win and advance kind of format. You know, usually in the MMA, you just fight that day and you either win a title or you don't. Whereas this one, every fight leads up to a final. So we just had the semifinals yesterday in Kigali, then the finals. The finals are in Benin in December. So it's a unique structure to the sport of MMA. One that we haven't seen before. And they have a African division. They have a European one as well. And then they have Middle East and Northern Africa, which I find, I mean, I understand why you have North Africa in there, but interesting that they have that and a Africa one. Because I saw on this card they have North African fighters fighting in the African one as well. So those guys can actually fight in two of the divisions within PFL. But anyways, they held their first ever event. That was this year in Cape Town in July. And then the quarterfinals were in Johannesburg. And in just a few moments, you will hear from the general manager of the PFL. He will give you a bit more insight about the PFL Africa as well as talk to us about the semifinals that took place in Kigali. That was yesterday. So here is the conversation we were able to have with Elias Schultz. And just a disclaimer, we had it before the fights. Actually, we had the conversation on Friday. But still, a lot of relevant information that Elias was able to give us.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. We are now joined by my guest for this evening, and that is none other than Mr. Elias Schultz, the general manager of the PFL. Elias, thank you very much for making time for us this evening. Now, without taking up too much of your time, let's get right into it. So the PFL is the first global MMA promotion to stage an event in Africa. Something monumental, but I wanna hear from you. Why was it important for the PFL to establish itself in Africa?
So, you know, for us, this was absolutely essential. Africa has some of the most sort of passionate fans and the deepest pool of untapped fighting talent, arguably anywhere in the world. Yet until now, there's never been a truly global MMA organization investing seriously in the continent. We have changed that. We're part of that wave. We're leading that wave. And we're driven by the vision of our chairman, Francis Ngannou, whose heart is in this. The PFL wanted to change all this, right? And to bring world-class production, opportunity, and visibility to our African athletes, while also creating an authentic African home for the sport.
100%. That's fantastic to hear. So since the PFL came to Africa, how would you say the sport has grown on the continent?
So, you know, the growth has been truly phenomenal. We've seen a surge in new gym openings, athletes training kind of more professionally, and regional federations stepping up to organize even more events. But beyond that, it's the inspiration factor. You know, you sort of see these young men and women across the continent are seeing now that MMA can be a legitimate career path as a professional athlete. And the PFL platform is helping to transform, you know, those dreams across the continent into real opportunities, into real realities.
So the PFL hosted its inaugural event in Cape Town a few months ago, and then after that had the quarterfinals in Johannesburg. So I want to know, what did the events in Cape Town and Johannesburg show you about the MMA scene in Africa, and would you deem those events a success?
Those events were an overwhelming success. I think that is a fair consensus among all who were there or, you know, saw it on television. It's not just like an attendance question, which, you know, we did well to sold out events, or production quality. Again, you know, you can't tell the difference between a PFL Africa event and any global MMA, you know, a UFC fight in Las Vegas, right? And arguably, we bring on even more pizzazz. But it's the energy, right? So Cape Town and Joburg proved that African fighters are ready for world-class MMA. The fighters delivered spectacular performances, just crazy knockouts and other dynamic actions. And the crowd's response was electric. It validates everything we've been working towards, that Africa can host, produce, and celebrate MMA at a truly global standard.
That's great to hear that you view Africa in this way, and the fact that Cape Town and Johannesburg put on such a fantastic show and showed the rest of the continent and the world that, you know, Africa can... There's no difference between a fight in Las Vegas and a fight in Africa, and hopefully, you know, more fights, more international fights will be hosted on the continent. And so, with that said, this weekend, the semifinals are going to be in Kigali, Rwanda. Talk to us about why Rwanda was chosen as the host country for the semifinals. What was so special about Rwanda?
So on this one, Rwanda stood out because it represents what modern Africa is truly becoming, right? So dynamic, well-organized, and forward-looking. Kigali has world-class infrastructure that truly is, you know, could rival any other city when it comes to sports. Incredible hospitality and one of the best arenas in Africa in the BK Arena. The Rwandan Development Board and the Ministry of Sports has also been very supportive of us being here and pushing forward this mission. So great partners. And it's just sort of been a really dynamic and lovely setting to showcase the next chapter of the African MMA journey.
I 100% echo those sentiments. I mean, the listeners will know I'm a huge fan of Rwanda. I think what they've been doing in terms of sports infrastructure and, you know, treating sport as a business has been incredible to see. And, of course, a large international organization such as yourselves have taken note as well. So it's great to see that their work is paying off. And hopefully it's a proof of concept for the rest of the continent. So now moving on, where and when will the finals be hosted?
Well, here we go. This is the road to Benin. The grand finals will take place on December 20th in Cotonou, Benin. It's going to be a spectacular close to the season, no doubt. Champions, these sort of continental warriors, will be crowned. I think you'll see a lot of regional pride in full display, perhaps some regional rivalry as well. That's great. And a major celebration of African MMA. You know, we're expecting fans, dignitaries, watch parties, and fight lovers from across the continent to join us there. I would say it's extra special that it happens in Benin, which is a cultural heartbeat for Africa, and particularly West Africa. Recently, you know, Benin has taken huge sort of investment steps into the culture, arts, sports, music side of things, and they're becoming a hot spot across the continent, but not that, just globally, right? Especially with their sort of reorientation around a diaspora and becoming a global kind of tourism hub as well.
Oh, wow, Benin. I'm keen to see how that will play out. You know, it's actually great that you guys are pretty much traveling all over Africa for this. You know, you started in the south, went to the east, going over to the west for Benin. So I'll be eagerly anticipating, and we'll be doing my research on Benin. Now, this is the beauty of sport. We get to learn about different countries just because of sport. I know a little bit about Benin, but now I'll know even more now that PFL Africa will be there. And same thing happened to me with Rwanda. I learned a lot about Rwanda simply because of sport. So this will be another example of that for me. So, moving on, I want to talk about a man that you brought up a little bit earlier, Mr. Francis Ngannou. Now, not many would argue that Francis is the most notable name on the PFL roster. He's one of the athletes that you guys signed to a big money contract, famously from the UFC. And you also appointed him as the PFL Africa chairman. So I want to hear, how has he done so far as a PFL Africa chairman, and will he be present on Saturday in Kigali?
So Francis has been absolutely instrumental all along. You know, I've said that at multiple times. his vision, credibility, you know, his sort of this commitment to creating opportunities for African fighters are unmatched, and it's truly authentic. There's nothing transactional about it. This is his genuine heart. He's been involved, you know, across the line from strategy, to even sort of some mentorships angles. And yes, fans can expect to see him in Kigali this weekend. He arrives not too far distant future here in Kigali, where I stand. And when Francis walks into a room or an arena, you know, you can definitely kind of feel the energy shift. He's a living embodiment, you know, arguably of what it is, you know, what it is to be an African athlete and what is possible, right? To become a global name, not just in athletic prowess, but in inspiration.
No, that's really fantastic to hear how involved Francis has been. And, you know, I think what PFL Africa has done is unprecedented. At the top of my head, I can't really think of any other league or organization that sort of started an Africa division and kind of, I don't want to use the word poached, but, you know, brought someone in from an existing, established, well-known league to now be the face of this new African league. So, you know, kudos to that. It would be like if NBA Africa somehow, you know, if in the BAL they somehow got LeBron James to sign for, you know, Cape Town City or something like that, you know? So I think it's really great what PFL Africa is doing and what they did in getting Francis and making him a chairman. And, you know, his impact, as you just described, has been fantastic. So now looking at Saturday's card, you know, I saw that the fighters come from North, West, South, and East Africa. I want to hear from you. Is there a particular region in Africa that seems to have more MMA talent than others? Is there a hot spot of MMA talent on the continent somewhere that the listeners might not know about?
So, yes and no. The beauty of the season has been to see the balance of the talent. So, North Africa brings out some strong striking traditions, for example. West Africa has explosive athletes. You find places in Senegal where you get Senegalese wrestling. In Nigeria, you have the Dembe fighting tradition, etc. But East Africa has incredible endurance and technique, and Southern Africa brings out deep, you know, MMA experience and infrastructure. So you're seeing it from across the continent. Kind of historically, East Africa is sort of newest to this party, let's say, and that's in part the reason why we're here and the reason why we're in Rwanda in particular. It's because we believe we can start sort of a movement for East Africa, as, you know, MMA is in its, let's call it, its earlier stages here relative to other parts of the continent. And we're excited to be part of that and to be leading that with the talent that we're finding here and just the fans and, you know, as part of the education process as well. So
what should the fans in Kigali expect this Saturday at the PFL Africa Finals at the BK Arena?
So fans should expect fireworks. Right. Pure athleticism, African pride. I think we have representation among our 22 fighters from 14 countries. It's truly a Pan-African representation. And you'll see a world-class show. The BK Arena will be packed. The lights in production will rival anything you see in Las Vegas or New York. And frankly, the stakes could not be higher. Right. Each fighter knows that a win in Kigali means a shot pushing forward, particularly those in the tournament. They, you know, this is their path, their ticket to Benin. They come out on top and in a place in history. So, no doubt it's going to be an unforgettable night for African sport.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. There was the general manager of PFL Africa, Elias Schultz, giving us some great insight about the PFL and what fans could expect. And that last question where he said, where I said, what can fans expect? It turned out to be true what he said about the fireworks. You know, if you go on YouTube or any social media platform, look up PFL Africa. There was some exciting knockouts, flying knee kicks and things like that. So he kept his word. And of the 24 fighters, You know, they came from, so there was South Africa, Angola, Nigeria, Algeria, Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, Uganda, Ivory Coast, and of course, the host nation, Rwanda. It's good to see so many African fighters getting an opportunity on a world stage, on the continent as well. So I anticipate that these events will only get bigger and bigger. And that the finals in Benin, I'm sure will be quite the event. Just aesthetically thinking. You know, Benin is a very colorful country. So at the very least, it's going to look nice on wherever it is it's going to be broadcasted. Now, I want us to pivot to the PFL chairman. That is Francis Ngannou, former UFC heavyweight champion of the world, now a PFL Africa fighter and chairman. Is what he had to say to the media in an interview, a brief interview that he did.
Everything being so good, we have been impressed of what we're seeing, eat good food, and then have a good hospitality. I ate some chicken. No, not only chicken. I eat chicken, fish, and beef all together. Another film. But I drank the coffee. Yes, the famous coffee. Yes, it was good. It was pretty good. I won't say... After Cameroonian coffee is the one, the coffee. The same thing that kept me going back then. It's still the same motivation. You know, the dream of becoming a better person. You know, doing what I love, doing what I'm passionate about, and give it the best. Yeah, I think it was just coincidence or a joint vision for the PFL Africa to come in, want to come in Africa to in the region. After though I was in the MMA for so long, I also have that dream for myself, but alone was too hard. I couldn't find a way to start it and. To have when the PFL came out with the vision of launching the PFL Africa, which come together with my vision, I think it was a great opportunity for me to join up with them and then to elaborate that dream and then, you know, shaping it out and make the better of a promotion for the continent. Africa, in my personal point of view, Africa is the continent with the most talent. And the reason why I say that is because when you look even at the high stage of combat sport, you will see that there's few African there already, and those few African in the rate of, in terms of percentage, they managed to have a higher success, you know, even though like most of them, they didn't have like a equal chance as other to start, but they still find their way there and manage to get their way to the top. So I think what is need for Africa to really get the same chance, it's so like to have the same infrastructure and also for the administration to put their effort behind, the support behind the sport, the athletes, for them to be able to expand themselves and then grow, shape their talent and then expose themselves in the global stage. And that's where I think PFL Africa come into play, because if a fighter globally develop, if they develop a good infrastructure, I mean even training wise, coaching and everything for fighters, now it's easier for them to just go to PFL Africa and fight on the mainstream promotion, which is basically worldwide. Now when they fight on PFL Africa, it's not only broadcast in Africa, you know, it broadcasts around the world, which is like I think is the key of this. I won't say I didn't move from being a fighter to being in the PFL leadership. I would just say I improve my position as a fighter, you know, to be to put myself in the position that I can also advocate for fighter, you know, and in order to advocate better, you better be in the have a seat on the table to know what is going on and to also plead for those who. So I'm always a fighter, and doesn't matter where I am, I'm always on the fighter side. So I'm not a leadership position. I'm in the fighter position in the organization that I joined because our dream aligns together, and I believe that they have the same respect for fighters as I do, because I'm still a fighter. I still have a career. I haven't done fighting yet. I still gonna fight, and I want to fight in the best condition. And also those who are in PFL Africa, is my responsibility from where I am to make sure that they are being in the good condition. That's my move. Yeah, from people seeing me as a role model, you know, I remember at the very early stage, I was very rebellion about this. And now I'm like, no, I didn't sign for this. I'm just here to fight and this and that. Then at some point, I realized it's a responsibility that you have to take. You know, there is this 10-year-old kid watching you and want to become like you, and another one there and another one there. And at the end of the day, you think about it, you say, I was there someday, and tomorrow it might be my kid looking up to somebody and want to become like him. And what would I like that person to become? Where would I like him to lead my kid? You know, so you feel like the responsibility to again be a better example for those who are looking up to you, because let's be honest, is a blessing to be in that position. Not so many people in their lifetime can get in the position that some people are looking into them. So the only thing that you need to do is to recognize that and do your best into it, you know. So I think it's a grace. Outside of fighting, the thing that I'm working about, I've always been a businessman. And that's what I tell people. I tell people that I'm a businessman in the business of fighting. So I don't approach this just as fighting. This is, for me, it's more like life. You know, it's a lesson, and it's also a job, you know. It's where you learn to stand up when you get hit. It's when you learn to come back when you get knocked down, or you stand up again and again and again. And I think that is the education part of it. The business part of it is how you structure and manage your own career, because unfortunately you cannot be doing this forever, and you have to think about how to leverage into that and to build a better future after when you retire fighting. And also I like business perspective. I like to understand how things work, how they create, how they generate stuff. I always have the same advice for African talent that want to make it in a global stage. And sometimes you have some talent that have a very wrong approach. And I will be the devil advocate of telling them the truth, because some kids will just come to you and just want to become like you. It's good that you want to become like me, but what are you ready to do? Because I've been through a lot. Are you ready to go through that? You're going to build your own path. You're going to have obstacle. You're going to face your obstacle. You don't wake up and become like me. And someone will listen, and someone just want to become like have the life that you have. And I'm like, it's not possible. You have to, you know, accept to view, start from this, from the scratch, and start from the beginning. And when you build a house, the strength of the house, of the building, reside in the foundation. You have to build a solid foundation before elevate the building. Otherwise, it's going to collapse. Sooner or later, it's going to collapse. So you better understand that and start from the bottom, knowing that there are going to be challenges on your way, and then you're going to overcome. Life going to beat the hell out of you over and over. Then you have to stand up over and over, be resilient to the point that life at some point might just get exhausted of beating you down. For the Rwandans that are going to be watching this interview, I'm about to tell them that this is the turning point of the history, in the combat sport in history. And then today, the third edition of PFL Africa is taking place in Rwanda, in this beautiful facility. It's an opportunity for them to be part of it. First of all, by start tuning up, watch the fight, and then also support their fighters, support those who are involved, and also appreciate their effort. We know whatever they are doing, and regardless of the result, be respect the sportsmanship and the effort that they did to make it there. Because unfortunately, as competition related everything, there is always two results, a winner and a loser. But there is not a winner if there wasn't a loser. So they both contribute for the sport and for the growth. So we have to recognize that as well. It's all about the beauty of the sport.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was PFL Africa chairman, none other than Francis Ngannou, the one and only. As I said, former UFC heavyweight champion of the world. And if you're unfamiliar with... if you are unfamiliar with Francis, he has quite the eventful life story, so to say. Whether that's, you know, he's obviously of Cameroonian descent. Not descent, he's born and lived there most of his life. And to become his journey to becoming a UFC fighter is one that we've definitely never seen before. You know, he crossed the Algerian desert in effort to get to Spain as a migrant. He got detained in Spain. It took him 7 or 8 tries. It took him like a full year to actually be allowed into Spain. Then he got detained in Spain. He was homeless in Paris. And that's where his fighting journey started, in Paris. And all of that led up to him becoming the UFC heavyweight champion of the world, which he did all of that in the span of about 2 or 3 years. From the moment he started when he got to Paris to the moment he became a UFC heavyweight champion was about 2 or 3 years. And don't forget, trivia question of the day. Who is the first African fighter to become a UFC champion? Who was the first? Francis is one of them. But who was the first? Most recently we had Dricus du Plessis from South Africa. We had Idris. From Nigeria. So yeah, chime in. Let me know. 0832888401. Who was the first African UFC world champion. A small hint, it happened in the year 2019. That should give you a hint as to who it is. But yeah, the deal that Francis has with the PFL, really a first of its kind deal. I'm yet to come across a deal such as this in any sport, especially this one of UFC. So in May 2023, he signed a deal that, here's one of the interesting parts. He signed a deal that still allowed him to fight, that allowed him to fight exclusively in the PFL's pay-per-view super fight division, while still being free to pursue professional boxing matches. So you guys remember when Francis fought, when he fought Anthony Joshua, he fought Tyson Fury, was the other one. If I'm not mistaken, he lost both, but he made close to $30 million from it. This is while being signed to a professional fighting league. So it's very rare that you see something like this happen. And that the fighter is allowed to make something like this happen. And the deal also includes him serving as an equity owner and chairman of PFL Africa. He gets a spot on the PFL Global Advisory Board. And one of the interesting parts of the deal, there's a guarantee of at least $2 million US dollars for his opponents. So anyone that fights Francis in the PFL will make at minimum $2 million US dollars. And speaking after the fights yesterday, Elias, who you just heard from about 15 minutes ago, reflecting on it, he said it was a turning point for the league's expansion across the continent, and he emphasized that the energy in the arena was unlike anything he had ever seen before. Especially for a market where, you know, mixed martial arts is still growing in a country like, well, most parts in Africa, but in a country like Rwanda in particular. He said, and I quote, "The response from the crowd was immediate. Usually the early fights have a slow build in terms of attendance and energy, but that wasn't the case in Kigali. From the very beginning, people were loud, present, and fully locked in. This shows the level of enthusiasm for a new sport in the region." Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing on this Sunday evening?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good, thank you. What would you like to share with us on the Eagle Sports Zone today?
I just wanted to answer the trivia question.
Oh, yes. Who is the first African champion, or the first African to become a UFC world champion? Do you have the answer for us this evening, good sir?
Yeah, I think so. My guess would be Dricus du Plessis.
No.
Okay.
Do some more research. You can call back, but that is the incorrect answer. He is, yes, an African champion, but he was not the first.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Unlucky there for that caller. If you'd like to win, to become the winner, this week's winner of the trivia question, before he calls back, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Update in the Manchester United-Liverpool fixture. It is still 1-0 to Manchester United. It is now the 63rd minute of play. So plus minus 30 minutes left in that one. Definitely the match of the weekend in the English Premier League. But as I was saying before the caller came on, I was reading a quote from Elias Schultz, the general manager of PFL Africa. Another thing he said was, or he spoke on, was the East African countries' investment in sports and in venues such as the BK Arena, combined with a growing youth interest in combat sports, created the perfect environment for the league to thrive, and he credited that to the connection to the months of preparation and grassroots outreach done by the PFL team in Rwanda. Eagle FM, good evening. Not sure what happened there, but do call back 0832-888-401. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, Link.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. How are you? It's a long time I've spoken to you and I've heard from you.
How are you doing this evening?
Ah, we came good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. How has it been with you?
I know you, every time I miss this chance, I always think, I know the sport is going on there. Unfortunately, many a times I don't listen.
Yeah, so
I'm not going to answer the question because I'm a zero. I don't even know anything about it. But it's good to learn.
Yeah.
Our own, so that we can be so much proud of our own people.
Mm-hmm.
Because many a times we just like denouncing this, we devalue this, our own things, and things are, I know things are not working very well, but just to see how we can encourage and mobilize ourselves to do better, that is also another challenge.
Yes.
You know, see, usually we used to talk about this community sporting,
mm-hmm.
Community sports, community development, those halls. Recently, I heard it from Eagle FM first time, that the people in Okatana there who have just constructed their soccer field, their sports field,
mm-hmm.
which is housing all those kind of, this sports court. And
yeah.
It's a long time we have also spoken. I don't know how far now our Independence Stadium, because I'm still hearing people cutting it. Yes, or people are still playing outside, and then this, you know, this thing is creating a very bad presence to our ranking also.
Mm-hmm.
And it really disturbs a lot of people because when you hear your team is performing very well and they are also now out somewhere else and things like that. But we should also understand the history of South Africa. I know they really benefited from the time when they have the World Cup. I know a friend of mine those who are engineering consultants,
mm-hmm.
how they developed and constructed those sports fields. Some of them were temporary. I think by now they are demolished just to allow that development to go forward.
Yeah.
If that chance, and also that if that opportunity come to us, because for us we are very small.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder I think, but in near future, we have those facilities,
mm-hmm.
and as we have them, we also benefit. There's no way the World Cup can come here and they cannot build some soccer sports field here. So South Africa at least benefited, even though they were also having their own. They benefited because of their population, because of their infrastructure, because of their things.
Yeah.
And we don't even have accommodation enough to accommodate those people. If instead of preparing ourselves, even in the community there, we can build sports fields so that when people come and play here, and then accommodation also, when they go and play at Enana,
mm-hmm.
people are able to house themselves there. Now we are dreaming about those things. If we cannot even ourselves now as community collectively, and then we now demand from the government to help us in this area, but we are still not mobilizing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, it's gone. But the Liverpool, is it really going to manage to get that thing? Because that thing, just within a minute and 30 seconds or so,
yeah,
the goal was scored already.
Yeah, it's still 1-0 now.
Ah, you can see now the people, the time is moving. But for me, I'm happy so that Man City can crab up there.
Oh, yeah, so you're a Man City supporter.
Yes, yes. So me and Tate General Lenga, we are good friends. And then we support the same. You know, you always look at the disciplined people. You know, Man City, We are very disciplined.
Yeah.
Very disciplined. And it doesn't mean everybody get a chance to score even. So you don't just necessarily depend on two or three people. Like now, they think, so you keep on giving the ball control, but you keep on now relying on somebody whom you think is Ronaldo, is who, this other one, and then your Mbappe or whoever, you'd be the one that you'll be giving the balls because you are missing chances here. You'll not score like that in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So Man City, everybody has the ability and potential to score.
Yeah, it's true.
So thank you very much, Neh.
Thank you for coming through.
God bless.
Yes. Caller giving us a good contribution there. If you'd like to contribute to the program as well, the line in the studio is 0832-888-401. Or if you'd like to answer the trivia question of the day, which is who is the first African fighter to become a UFC world champion? We had someone answer and say Dricus du Plessis. Incorrect, my friend. Incorrect. He is, or was, he lost his title now, but was a UFC champion. The most recent one, actually, but he was not the first. And so, back to Kigali we go. Where I was talking about how the GM commended Rwanda for their investment in infrastructure. And as the caller alluded to, as well just now, is that, you know, will we being Namibia, come to a stage where we are able to host some of these things? You know, that's been the talk from the government and the various entities that are in the space of sports facilities. But is it a realistic goal? I sometimes, I'm back and forth, if I'm being honest. I'm back and forth on our ability to do so. But I would definitely like to see it happen. 100%. But I am back and forth. But we'll see. These next few years, if things are to go down as has been foretold to us, then I think we can catch up, or at least join the race with the likes of Rwanda, the likes of Morocco, the likes of South Africa, of course. We don't even have to mention them. Then one more quote, excuse me, that I wanted to read about what the GM had to say post the fights yesterday. He said, and I quote, "We didn't just show up with a cage and lights. We spent weeks and months informing people about the fighters, what MMA is, and why it matters. We created activities and opportunities for people to understand the heart of the sport. That's what brought the energy we saw this weekend," he explained. Which I think is something very important to do. If you guys remember the psychological continuum model that we spoke about on here, what the GM just spoke about now, or that I just read now, are the activities that are needed to get people to that allegiance stage that we reference oh so often, that important allegiance stage where that's where money gets spent. That's where, as it says in the title, allegiance forms. And that's where the industry really becomes about business. The business of sport is really seen in the allegiance category. And so some of the investors in the PFL, as I said, this is a league that started in 2018. Like, the overall company started in 2018. The PFL Africa division was launched 2023, and 2025, this year, is when they had their first events. They partnered with a group called the Helios Sports and Entertainment Group, otherwise known as HSEG. This is a subsidiary of the Helios Investment Partners, which is the largest Africa-focused private investment firm. They manage funds totaling over $3 billion. So this wealthy company saw the vision as well, or bought into the vision of PFL as well, of PFL Africa as well. And their portfolio within that $3 billion that I just mentioned includes investments in NBA Africa and the Basketball Africa League, which also is basically, you can say, headquartered almost in Kigali. It's one of the main reasons why that arena even exists, where they had the fights this weekend. And so they've had some grassroots impact as well. You know, they have, they currently, as we speak, have scouts stationed across the continent, building relationships with regional MMA promotions and tapping into grassroots scenes, including Olympic disciplines, right? And so on the other side of this musical break, we will get into the difference in business structure between the two organizations. You know, same sport, but they go about their business in slightly different manners. And so we'll discuss that on the other side of this from Jimmy Cliff. While Jimmy Cliff is playing, if you wanna win, the trivia question of the day is, who is the first African fighter, mixed martial artist, to become a UFC champion of the world? A UFC champion of the world. Who was the very first African to do so? A hint, it happened in 2019, right before the pandemic. We will be back right after this.
Back to the Eagle Sports Zone. While Mr. Jimmy Cliff was serenading us, things happened in the Liverpool-Manchester United match. It is now 2-1 to Manchester United. Cody Gakpo had equalized for Liverpool in the 78th minute. And then Harry Maguire just took the lead for Manchester United. But before we continue with that, a message from our friends at NUST.
Then why not apply to NUST? The Namibia University of Science and Technology's applications are now open.
Really? Do they offer IT and engineering?
Yes, and so much more. They have business, health, science, and media. NUST has exactly what you need.
I'm applying today. NUST, here I come.
Applications for 2026 are now open. Visit www.nust.na to apply. Namibia University of Science and Technology, reinventing the future.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As I was saying before the commercial break, Manchester United 2, Liverpool 1, 86th minute now, around 4 minutes left, plus stoppage time. If anything changes, I will keep you up to date. If United were to win, they would be 9th in the table on 13 points. 2 points behind Bournemouth in 4th. So let's see if they can hold on, or if Liverpool can equalize, or if someone can take ownership and collect all 3 points in that fixture. Traditional rivalry between those two English Premier League teams. But let's head back to our PFL chat, PFL Africa chat, that we were having before the commercial break. And I mentioned that we were going to talk about the difference in their business models, right? So those that are familiar with the sport of UFC, you know that it's the biggest. When it comes to this sport, they are number one. Let me put it like that. And Forbes has given them an evaluation of $11 billion. So according to Forbes, the UFC is worth $11 billion. The PFL, in comparison, is worth $1 billion. And they say that the structure that they've put in with the win in advance thing, having it more like a season, like a team sport season, instead of the UFC where it's always one-off events.
They say that its sports season format fosters consistency, delivers almost weekly events that build a reliable connection with audience. And that's what I was talking about on the continuum model, getting to that allegiance sector. It's events like the ones we talked about now in Kigali that make things like this happen, especially if you're being introduced to the sport for the first time. So this regularity, it can transform the sport of MMA into a familiar and dependable fixture for African viewers, helping the league establish a foothold as the first global MMA organization to commit fully to the continent. You know, people won't forget. People in Rwanda, people in Cape Town, people in Johannesburg, people in Benin, and wherever else the PFL goes, they won't forget that great night they had when they attended, or they went to a certain arena to learn about this sport called MMA and the spectacle. You know, these are things people don't forget, and it's the reason why people are fans of whether it's teams or certain athletes or leagues. It's because of experiences like that. And the UFC, some of you might know, make a lot of their money from the fact that their events are pay-per-view, meaning you have to buy the event basically to watch it. So imagine every time PFL Africa came around, you would have to buy to view it. In PFL, they don't do that. You know, PFL, the one of this weekend was available on SuperSport. It was available on YouTube, I believe, and a few other outlets. DAZN, I believe, was the other one as well. So a lot more accessible to watch compared to UFC, which is normally pay-per-view, or sometimes they'll do like a deal with Netflix or something like that. But PFL, they decided to go a bit of a different route and make it more accessible to the audience. And the sport of MMA is said to have over 650 million fans around the world. But what PFL is taking advantage of, as we talked about UFC being the top of the line in this league, obviously, and an American organization, but over 500 million fans of the sport are those that are outside of America. This is according to, you know, several reports in the MMA world. But what the PFL wants to do, instead of just focusing on the American fan, they want to make this a global sport, as the numbers I just spoke about, is available to the rest of the globe. And the UFC is doing this now as well. You know, they're having events in Saudi Arabia. I saw now there was UFC India. You know, so they've recognized the need to do this as well. But PFL, that's really what they're focusing on. And to introduce the sport to markets that ordinarily aren't fans of the sport, or well-known fans of the sport. But events such as these more than likely will convert them. And if what Mr. Schultz had to say is anything to go by, the African people are taking to the sport well. They're enjoying what they're seeing, at least so far. And so, and at the heart of the PFL's initiative lies a developmental program that they have, where they allow a select group of athletes to, not allow, they facilitate for a select group of athletes to train in the United States, where, you know, they can hone their skills in elite gyms under the guidance of seasoned coaches and competitors. And the sport of MMA, as it says in the title, mixed martial arts, it's a summation, or it's a collection. It's a mixture. I didn't want to say mixture, but it's a mixture of different sports. And combat sports,
or different combat sports, excuse me. And combat sports have had a long history on the continent. It's not entirely new to us here on the continent. For example, in Senegal, wrestling is the national sport, even, and goes back decades and decades and decades. It's a national sport. It's even more famous than football in Senegal. And we know how good Senegal is at football. And then there's a sport called Dambe that Mr. Schultz had referenced in our interview also. This is an old combat sport coming from Nigeria, and it combines elements of grappling and striking, which are essentially the foundations of the sport of MMA. So the continent is not unfamiliar with the sport. I'm sure in other countries there's, you know, forms of wrestling or other forms of grappling that have gone back decades, if not centuries. So it's fitting that the sport is now a mainstay on the continent, thanks to guys like the team at PFL. And if you have to think about it like this, when it comes to the event side, you know, for a sport like football, for example, you know, think about how many football matches are available for a football fan to consume in a year. It's endless. You know, sometimes people even get sick of football and say, I'm not watching, like I've been watching too much. But a sport like MMA, even if you were to put UFC and PFL together, there's less than 100 events all around the world now we're speaking about. There's less than 100 events total between the two leagues that fans of the MMA can take in or consume in a year. And so that's what PFL is trying to change. Since it's already a scarce sport overall, they want to reduce the scarcity on the continent in particular, which I think is a great thing, and it's a sign of that the rest of the world is taking note of what's possible on the continent. And I hope our leaders as well can take note of what is possible. And also, it's just great to see the continent rise in this sport. I mean, we've had some of the most famous UFC fighters in the last, let's say, 10 years have been African fighters, which, by the way, the trivia question of the day, don't forget, is I need someone to call in and tell me who is the first African fighter to become UFC champion of the world, a UFC champion of the world. I won't tell you which division, because that will give the answer away. But it happened in 2019. So call in 083-288-401. This 083-288-401. But yes, I was talking about the talent. You know, I feel like I hear this about every sport, about the untapped talent on the continent. And this sport in particular, I mean, the talent has been tapped, as I just mentioned, the many UFC stars that we've had. But before we get to that, Eagle FM, good evening.
Yeah, sorry, man, for coming back. Good evening once more again.
Yes.
So there's something that you just reminded me of concerning the our boxer, most especially our boxers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have got talent.
Uh-huh.
The only problem I think which I have observed, and the one this question was posed,
yes,
to one of those people who manage those clubs, sports clubs,
mm-hmm.
I mean the boxing clubs. And what I have observed from long time ago, from the time of this, who is this guy, the one who went to get, is it Julius, what? And then the most of our boxers.
Okay.
When the exposure, when we expose them so early in their career, so that become very risky for them to progress. Because many a times, if you look at the boxers, especially those black ones and all these other ones in America and the US.
Yes.
US.
Yes.
So those ones, they were groomed from their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So they get all the provision of training, the psychology, the economy, the physics, all kinds of things. They are all taken care of.
Yeah.
So when we now, for us here, we progress, we make progress, we make progress, we beat all these other ones. When this American time comes, you know, so, and this is, you know, they are good.
Mm-hmm.
They are good, but, you know, when you look at them and maybe level them with that, but in terms of physics and techniques and all these other things, I don't think they were able to compete with most of the time there.
Yeah.
So that's why, and they're taking them there so early, and it's actually a risk, because they will be knocked out. They will be knocked out, down. Mm-hmm. They'll be knocked down. Because those guys, they have been training from 11 years old.
Yeah.
For us, we only start when the person is employed in defense force or the police.
Yes.
So and then that moment, yeah, yes, he's training, he's deploying everything. He's already almost an adult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we get to this American boxer, it won't take even 2, 3, 5 rounds. And the person is knocked down already. So that becomes a problem to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that thing. I think we need to examine ourselves. Those the clubs who are training people and all these things, so let them really go through vigorous kind of a stage.
Yeah.
Before they can just expose our guys to, and then they'll be knocked down there, and then they'll become very discouraged.
It's true.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Good.
Thank you to that caller for coming through with their valuable contribution. If you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 0832888401. Some news for you is that Manchester United have now beaten Liverpool 2-1 in the English Premier League. The match has concluded. Goals from Brian Mbeumo and Harry Maguire. The victory puts the Red Devils at 13 points, just 2 behind Liverpool now, actually. But their position is, they're still 9th. So still mid-table. And Liverpool are 3rd, but the gap is only 2 points. So perhaps the Red Devils have turned a corner. Perhaps. No, this is successive Premier League victories now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first time that this has happened under Ruben Emery. Unfortunate result for the defending champions Liverpool, who have now lost back-to-back league matches as well. I think they've lost now 4 matches in a row, actually. Because before Manchester United, they lost to Chelsea 2-1. Then they lost to Galatasaray in the Champions League. And before that, they lost to Crystal Palace 2-1. Remember to that 97th minute winner from former Arsenal man Eddie Nketiah. So tough times for the defending league champions from Merseyside. Okay, on the other side of this tune from Bob Marley, we will round up our conversation about the PFL. We still have time to answer the trivia question of the day. Who is the first African fighter to become a UFC champion of the world? The number in the studio is 0832888401. That's 0832888401. If you're a Liverpool supporter, call in. You can grieve on air. If you're a Manchester United supporter, call in. You can rejoice on air. You can celebrate on air. Or maybe you're an Arsenal supporter. And you might be happy with that result as well, because you know, now the gap between you and Liverpool stays at 4 points. So call in, let us know. On the other side of this from Bob Marley, we will keep.
Yes, my friend, we did a street again. Yes, my friend, my good friend, them say we're free again. The bars could not hold me.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%,
important is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future. Eagle FM.
Tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Eagle. Do call back 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Do call us back. Come share what it is you wanted to share or if you wanted to answer the trivia question. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
How are you doing this evening?
Good,
thank you. What would you like to share with us on the Eagle Sports Zone?
I don't know how to answer that one, the trivia question.
The trivia question?
Yeah, did someone answer it already?
You want to answer it or you want to hear the question?
I can hear the question.
Okay.
I was watching the game, man.
Okay. No, it's okay. The question is, who was the first African fighter to become a UFC champion? Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
You are the winner of this. What is your name?
Eric.
Congratulations, Eric. You are this week's winner. How was it? Are you a Man United or Liverpool supporter?
Man United, definitely, man.
Nah, congrats. Congrats.
Red Devils, man.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, bro.
Thank you for calling.
Alright, enjoy the night,
Alright. Thanks to Eric for calling, telling us, for answering the trivia question correctly. The answer is Kamara Usman, all the way from Nigeria. Yeah, and Eric is having a good evening as Manchester United beat Liverpool for the first time since 2016, by the way, at Anfield. It's a long time. It's a long time that Manchester United haven't won at Anfield. And so, before Eagle FM, good evening.
What do you call that spot again, Ivo, the name that you mentioned? Ah, I knew this man, man. This Nigerian, the one you just mentioned, what?
Kamara Usman.
So what? This guy is very dangerous.
Yeah, no, they are serious guys.
Oh, they are very. I mean, I think I'm looking forward to that guy is very dangerous.
Yeah, no, he's.
So, and I think most of these guys from West Africa, especially Nigeria, they go very far in that spot.
Yeah, no, West Africa, even Central, they do well in the sport.
I'm telling you the truth. So, okay, it's just that I did not pay attention to that thing and I could have thought about this guy, but I don't know. Thank you very much, man. It's a good thing, man.
Thank you.
Let's come home and make sure that we take those guys there, man. And I've been watching also this South African, this guy. They're also doing very well.
Yeah, they're doing well. They are definitely
in that
doing
area,
well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, as I said, the answer was Kamaru Usman. He was a UFC welterweight champion. He's someone that's considered one of the best fighters in that division of all time. So as I said, the talent, we have it. We have it on the continent. And who knows, maybe Namibia will produce a world champion also. We have Vea. You guys remember Vea? It was on the Eagle Sports Zone also. Our first ever professional mixed martial artist. So perhaps he's on his way to UFC, not UFC. He's on his way to PFL Africa. Oh, maybe UFC also. Who knows? But would be good to see. And as the caller said, South Africa, they're doing well in this sport as well. As the one of the callers alluded to by answering the question with Dikis, which was incorrect. But another African champion recently lost his title, but he was on top of the world not too long ago, and I'm sure he will be back as well. And they have the what's the league in South Africa called? The EFC, I believe it is. That's the one where Vea is signed to. He's fighting under that organization that started in South Africa. So we're doing well on the continent. And Dick is actually, no, there was a bit of a controversy. Because he said when he was champion, he said that he's the only African, because he wasn't the first. Like I said, there was Kamaru. There was Francis. There was Adesanya. So he wasn't the first. But he said that he was the first African fighter to be born in Africa, to be raised in Africa, and to have learned how to fight in Africa. Basically saying he never left the continent. The other guys, you know, they went to train in the US. Like I said, Francis honed his skill in Europe. So Jacob's argument or statement is that he's the true, even though he's not the first, but he's basically saying he's the true African champion, which is quite ironic. What? All reports so far indicate that the semifinals were a huge success. Leading up to it, they said they had sold around 80% of the tickets, but I'm quite skeptical of that because then in another report, they said there was 4,000 people in the arena. And I know that arena holds more than 4,000. They hold, let's see how much to be exact. The BK Arena holds 10,000. So if we account for, you know, scaling it down a bit to accommodate whatever needed to be put in the stadium, in the arena, excuse me. I don't think they sold out, but nonetheless, it was still a successful event. 4,000 people is still a lot of people, especially in an area where sport is not this particular sport is not too popular. And another thing of PFL that I didn't mention earlier, when it comes to their business model, what they do is, because they're still working on getting fans into that allegiance sector of the continuum model, their tickets are very cheap in comparison to UFC. UFC tickets are they brand it as like a premium item, you know, and just like any, it's like the boxing tickets as well. You know, when we hear about Mike Tyson fighting, when we hear about Tyson Fury fighting, when we hear about Javante Davis fighting, those are expensive tickets. In anywhere in the arena, it's an expensive seat. And same with UFC for the most part. But what they want to do different, especially at the PFL Africa division, is to make the tickets affordable. So I don't know what the exact price of tickets was in Rwanda, but I know it was very affordable for the locals. And I'd imagine the same will happen in Benin. And I'm sure it's the same as it was in Cape Town and Johannesburg, since those ones were even sold out. But Benin, I'm very eager to see how that one plays out. Benin, as I said at the top of the show, is a very vibrant country. At least from what I've seen, the people are very vibrant. They're like traditional attire and stuff like, and yeah, their traditional attire is very vibrant as well. It's just overall interesting country. There's many interesting countries on the continent that I'm becoming fond of. Like I said, my trip to Rwanda, I think, turned me into a Pan-Africanist. I'm now a Pan-Africanist more than I was before. So I'm very interested in the smaller countries that our continent has to offer, that I'm getting to learn about or learn more about through sports. For example, Cape Verde as well. You know, we saw them make that splash at the AFCON, but now going to the World Cup, that's an incredible achievement for a country that has a population of basically Ventuk. But they managed to qualify for the biggest stage in world football. So we'll be learning more about them. We'll be learning about Benin. We spent the last, I want to say, month learning about Rwanda. What other countries that we explored here on the Eagle Sports Zone? Lesotho, we got to learn about through one of the interviews we hosted here. We got to learn about Comoros. Got to learn about Botswana. Morocco. I remember we did an episode on Mauritania. So the Eagle Sports Zone, we're learning a lot on the Eagle Sports Zone, myself included. You know, when we do these shows, obviously I have to do some research before I come in. So I'm learning in real time with you guys. It's been a good experience thus far. And to end the year, we will have the African Cup of Nations that is being hosted in Morocco. We'll probably have an episode dedicated to that in the near future. Namibia obviously won't be in the AFCON, unfortunately, but nonetheless, we anticipate it being an exciting tournament still in December. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, how may we help you here on the Eagle Sports Zone?
Is the trivia question still out for grabs?
It got answered by brother Eric, who we called in about 10 minutes ago. He got the answer correct. But if you didn't hear the answer, you can try once more.
No, I'd rather hear it.
The answer was Kamaru Usman.
Kamaru Usman, okay.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Stay tuned for next week's question.
I'll be back next week.
Okay. Yes, you have to be quicker than that, my friend. The question got answered by Eric. It was Kamaru Usman. But tomorrow is Monday, don't forget, which means that the Villager e-paper will be published. If you are not a subscriber yet and you'd like to receive the Villager newspaper for free straight to your mobile device or straight to your email address, simply follow the following steps. put this number in your cell phone. That's 081-200-4144. Save it as the villager and send it a WhatsApp message. Very important that it's a WhatsApp message. Tell us that you want to become a subscriber. If you want to receive it on email as well, put your email address in there. And again, make sure to save the number so you can receive the villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, bright and early, straight to your mobile device, and you will have access to the latest and best in business, economics, you know, policy-related, agricultural, sports, all that kind of good news that makes you a smarter citizen of the world. You can get in the Villager e-paper for free. Like I said, straight to your mobile device every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144 that you want to become a subscriber, and make sure to save the number as a contact. And that will be it for me on this edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will leave you in the lovely hands of... Who will I leave you in the hands of? I'll leave you in the hands... of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Be sure to tune in same time, same place next week, Sunday, on your number one talk radio station. See you next week.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.